Good morning. Today's daf is daf Kuf Yud Zayin. Let's start again with the Mishnah on Kuf Tes Zayin Amud Beis. We know that the Jewish people exited Egypt, and then we were on our way to the land of Israel. Unfortunately, we committed the sin of believing the spies who had a negative report about the quality of the land of Israel. And God then consigned us to 40 years of wandering and dying in the desert so that the next generation would enter the land of Israel. So we're going to see that there is actually a dispute how the land of Israel was eventually divided. Was it divided amongst those who entered? Anyone over the age of 20 when they entered? Any man over the age of 20 when he entered got a portion of the land? Is that the way it worked? And the land was divided up based on those 600,000, roughly? Or was it that it was divided based on those who left Egypt? Anyone who was over the age of 20 when they left Egypt was entitled to a portion in the land of Israel. Those were the people who didn't enter. So it was their children who inherited them based on those portions. So as an example, let's say you had two people leaving Egypt, two brothers, Reuven and Shimon. And Reuven had 9 sons, and Shimon had 1 son. And then by the time we were entering the land of Egypt, Israel, those 10 boys, the second generation, are all over 20. So do we say that the land was divided amongst those who entered the land? So then there were 10 plots for the 10 boys. And, you know, Shimon's kids got 9 plots and Reuven's son got 1 plot. Or do we say that the land was divided based on those who left Egypt? So Reuven and Shimon were the two who left Egypt. They were over the age of 20 when they left Egypt. They didn't have sons at the time, or their sons were younger than 20 at the time. So there were only 2 plots that they got. They then died. So that would mean that Shimon's sons end up inheriting 1 plot. So 9 boys are in 1 plot, and then 1 boy is in 1 plot. So how did it work? Was the land divided up based on those who left Egypt, and then their children inherited them? Or was the land divided up based on those who entered the land and were age 20 and above at the time of entering the land of Israel? So that's going to be a dispute, as we'll see. And the reason why we get into this here is because we've been discussing for several days the idea of a daughter inheriting her father. And we've seen that there's a mission that says that any daughter or other descendant of an individual has the same status as that individual. So the great example of that is the daughters of Tzlafchad. The daughters of Tzlafchad literally had the status of Tzlafchad as if they were the firstborn getting a double portion in the property of Hefer. Yeah.
And the tribal lands themselves where these people got, was that like divinely given out in advance of how big it was, or was that backed into by the numbers of how many people there were?
It was, yeah. Well, we'll see. The Gemara is going to discuss that later in the parak.
Why did they put the division among Bnei Israel from day one? Among
different tribes, you mean?
Different tribes and live anywhere you want. This
maybe Hashem wants us to have a unique tribal identity. You know, the tribe of Yehuda are supposed to be the kings, and the tribe of Asher to grow olive oil or olives and tribe of Zvulun to be merchants. Everybody has their mission, and therefore we were divided based on mission and given different places to live based on our different missions.
That's why we have Parsim and Halabim.
We have Parsim and Halabim, yeah, different missions.
What's Halabim?
Aleppo from Syria, and Parsim are Persians.
Yeah, if she's come up, he gives
yellow rice.
Hummus.
So now we're up to the Mishnah again on Kuf Tes Zayin Amud Beis. Nos Tzlafchad, the daughters of Tzlafchad, Natlu Shlosha Chalakim Benachala. They got 3 plots in the inheritance of the land of Israel. Why? Number one, this Mishnah believes, the time of this Mishnah, that the land was divided according to those who left Egypt. Anyone who was over the age of 20, any man over the age of 20 at the time of leaving Egypt, was entitled to a piece in Israel. So Salafchan himself was over 20 at the time of leaving Egypt. So they got his portion. V'chelkoim echav b'nichsei chefer. But in addition to his portion, his father, Chefer, was also over 20 at the time of leaving Egypt. And Chefer inherited a portion. So Chefer, who died, his portion was inherited by his sons. Tzlafchad was one of the sons. So the daughters of Tzlafchad took the place of Tzlafchad to get some of Hefer's land. The Shahaya Bechor, now since Tzlafchad was the firstborn, no tel shnei chalakim, they actually got two portions in Hefer's land, because Tzlafchad was inheriting the land of Hefer. And since they had the status of being the extension of Tzlafchad, once Tzlafchad is no longer alive, so were Tzlafchad to have been alive, Tzlafchad would have gotten a double portion, because he was the Bechor, he was the firstborn. So since he was not alive, they who took his place, his daughters, got his double portions. They end up getting three portions. They inherit his portion that he got, plus they inherit the double portion within Hefer's land that he would have gotten, and therefore they ended up with three portions of land. So it's all very fascinating because we have a rule, we'll see a lot of this in this parak and then later in Masechet Bechoros, that ein bechor notel b'ra'ui ki b'muchzak. We have a rule that a bechor gets a double portion. He gets a double portion in land that was in the possession of his father, not land that could have become the possession of his father. So one second, Chefer never entered the land of Israel. So why is Tzlafchad entitled to a double portion in Hefer's Israeli land? Hefer never entered. The land of Israel should be considered Ra'ui. So this is the classic idea that Eretz Yisrael muhzekes hi lanu me'avoseinu, that the land of Israel in the eyes of Halacha is considered to have already been the possession that was actually held by our ancestors. So since Hefer left Egypt, he was entitled to a portion in Israel, even though he never got there. In the eyes of Halacha, he did get there. In the eyes of Halacha, it's viewed as if he already was holding on to it, so much so that when he would die, his sons would divide up the land with the law of Bechor being applicable, that the firstborn son gets a double portion. Now in this instance, the firstborn son already wasn't alive, so his daughters, the daughters of Tzlafcha, took his place, and they got the double portion within Hefer's land. Right, there's a very deep attachment between the land of Israel and the Jewish people. Okay, so this is the Mishnah. Okay, now the Gemara. The Gemara is going to say that, you know, it's not so clear this is the case. The Mishnah makes a lot of sense if you assume that Eretz Yisrael, Liyotzei Mitzrayim, Nischalka, that the land of Israel was divided among those who left Egypt. And any person out of Egypt who was 20 or above at the time that he left Egypt was entitled to a piece of the land of Israel. But not everybody agrees to that.
I said those died, all those people.
They did, they all died. But even so, according to the Mishnah, they got a piece of Israel, just didn't physically get it, but they're the ones who were entitled to it, so then it was inherited by their heirs. But it's really their land. That's why Tzlafchad's daughters end up with three portions. There's Tzlafchad's portion plus the double portion within Hefer's land.
So they got it through their tribes. Through their tribes, a portion or something?
That's certainly true. It's within the tribe, but we're saying that the people who left Egypt, they're the ones entitled to pieces of land, and then their children inherit them. So Tanan, what we have in the Mishnah here is Keman Dara, like the opinion, Liyotze Mitzrayim, Nischalka Haaretz. The land of Israel was divided to those who left Egypt, and then they died in the desert, so their children inherited the land from them.
And Rabbi, sorry, the old 12 tribes who represented it, the Tzitzis, that's right?
For sure, yes. The Tanya, but the truth is, we learned in a Braisa that it is actually a dispute. Rabbi Yoshia says, like our Mishnah, Liyotze Mitzrayim, Nischalka Haaretz. even though the land was only divided up actually once we enter the land. The people entering are the ones who picked the lots and got the portions. But really the division of the portions was already based on those who left Egypt. So it's as if those who left Egypt got land, and then their children inherited it from them. So for example, let's say there are two brothers, Reuven and Shimon, who leave Egypt. Reuven has 10 sons in the desert. Shimon has one son. So now Reuven and Shimon died because all those who left Egypt died because of the sin of the spies. So when they're coming into the land of Israel, there are 11 first cousins. So the way the land was divided was there were two plots. One plot had on it, you know, one plot ended up as Reuven's plot. The other plot ended up as Shimon's plot. So then those two plots were now divided amongst their kids. So that Reuven's son ends up with one big plot, and Shimon's 10 sons end up with 10 little plots that they inherit from Shimon. Shenamar, how do we know that this is the way the land was divided? Because the Torah says in Parshas Pinchas, when the Jews are being counted, those who are about to enter Israel being counted. However, with a lottery, we'll divide up the land. Lishmos matos avosam yinchalu. To the names of the tribes of their fathers, they will inherit. Now, why throw in the word fathers? Could have just said, to their tribes, they will inherit. But the answer is by saying fathers. It's to say that the fathers were the ones who got the land, and then it was inherited from them. Elamani Makayim. So now, if we're going to say that it's those who left Egypt who got the land, and their children inherit from them, so what about the next verse that says, to these that are going to be counted, divide the land amongst an inheritance. That sounds like it's those who are entering Israel who are getting the plots. But it's not. We just said it's those who left Egypt who got the plots. So the answer is like this. To these, like these. To exclude those who are younger than 20. So just like these who are being counted now or 20 and above. So to, like, in a similar way, like these, those who exited Egypt and got portions of the land because they exited Egypt had to have been over 20 at the time of exiting Egypt to get a piece of the land. That's the view of Rabbi Yoshia. That's like our Mishnah. However, Rabbi Yonasan says, no. Lebay ha'aretz neschalka ha'aretz. The land of Israel was divided and apportioned and given out to those who were entering it. So in our case, you have Reuven and Shimon, our brothers. Reuven has one son. Reuven had 10 sons. Shimon had one son. So we said that according to Rabbi Yoshia, that first cousin, who's the single son of Shimon, ends up with a plot of land equal in size to the 10 plots of his first cousins combined. However, Rabbi Yonasan says, no. You divide up the land based on those who enter the land. So when you have 11 first cousins, Shimon's one son and Reuven's 10 sons, each of Reuven's sons gets an equal-sized plot, and Shimon's son also got the plot equal to what each of them have. His plot is their size plots. It's not equal to all 10 of them together. It's equal to one of them because the land was given to those entering the land. Shenamar, what's the source? The verse says, Lo ele, to these, techalei ka'aretz menachala. The land will be divided in inheritance. Okay, so if that's the pasuk, Elamani Makayim, so what about the earlier pasuk? Ach begoro yechalei ka'aretz l'shmos matos avosim yinchalu. To the names of the tribes of their fathers they will inherit. Why mention fathers? So the answer is like this, is Meshuna Nachalazu Mikol Nachalo Shaba'olam. Rabbi Yoshia says that this inheritance of the land is different than all other inheritance. Shakol Nachalo Shaba'olam Chaim Yorshin Amesim. Normally, those who are living inherit those who are deceased. But over here, Mesim, those who are dead, those who are deceased, Yarshin Achayim, inherit those who are alive. So actually, it's not the way we said it. We said that according to Rabbi Yoshia, when you have 11 first cousins, each one gets an equal portion going into the land. That's not the way it works. The way it works is like this. You have 11 going in. So there are 11 equal portions now. 10 for 10 sons and one for that one son. But now their deceased parents inherit them. So those 11 go back to the two brothers, Reuven and Shimon. And now Reuven and Shimon are brothers. So 11 portions divided between two brothers become 5.5 portions. So now the 10 sons of Reuven divide up 5.5 portions, and the one son of Shimon gets the full 5.5 portions. So on the one hand, it's based on the children entering the land. How much land there is between the children entering the land. But then they send it back up to their deceased fathers, to the generation that left Egypt. And then it goes, it gets divided based on how many left Egypt, and then comes back down to the two groups. That's based on this second pasuk.
The assumption, Rabbi, sorry, is that all of the men that left Mitzrayim did die in the desert, right?
Yes, they all did.
There was
except
no case
for
of a situation that someone left Egypt and also entered Israel.
There were two, Kalev and Yehoshua, but everybody else died. Correct. But yeah, the Vita question.
Okay. Nice. So the father to the son. So right. It doesn't stand to reason to bring it back up and then you get these sons to the
right. So it's unique to the land of Israel. Right? They said it's unique. It's not normal. This is only true about the land of Israel. So it comes out that you had two verses, right? One verse says, La'ela tachalek ha'aretz benachala, implying to these, those who are entering the land, get the land. On the other hand, we have a verse that says, L'shmos matos avosim yinchalu, that they're getting the land based on the names and the inheritance from their fathers. That they're not those, not that those who are entering are getting the land. They're getting it from their fathers. We already had it. So we had two opinions. According to Rabbi Yoshia, yeah, the fathers got it, and their children are inheriting from them. Why did it say, Le'ela t'chalek asaretz? It said Le'ela t'chalek asaretz, just like these, are over 20. The fathers had to be over 20 to get a portion of the land when they left Egypt. However, according to Rabbi Yonasan, the way to interpret these two psukim is Le'ela t'chalek asaretz. I'm sorry, Le'ela t'chalek asaretz benachala implies that the portions are divided based on these who are entering the land. Then when it says L'shmos matos avosim yinchalu, it means that these entering the land send their portions back up to the generation that actually left Egypt. And then it gets divided, and then it comes back down from there to this generation.
Does it come out that they both hold that it's ultimately based on the Yetziah?
Well, there's an impact.
It's just the first generation that's the difference.
There's an impact by the Yetziah, right? There is an impact by the Yetziah, for sure.
Meaning in terms of portions, meaning
it gets, it goes back to them, and then from them back down.
Saying, so ultimately it's going to end up with, based on, you know, the initial portion from Yetziah, so it's not going to be like as disproportionate.
That's correct. That's certainly true.
So it was just for this first generation they're arguing, how much land they had.
Hopefully yeah,
it travels back to the person who left.
Well, there's a big difference, right? Let's take our case. You have 11 first cousins, but one first cousin is the only child. The other 10 first cousins are 10 children of someone who left Egypt. So according to Rabbi Yoshia, so there's a big disparity. The 10 children have 10 small pieces, and the only child, he has a huge plot. It's yeah, equal to 10.
Initially.
No, that's what he has. Okay. Whereas according to Rabbi Yonah's son, it ends up that that only child has a plot that's equal to 5.5 plots, and the 10 have land that's also between them equal to 5.5, each one having half of a plot. So, it ends up that they end up getting much more than what they would have gotten under Rabbi Yoshia.
Because when they die, it goes, like, I guess I'm not understanding.
It's done.
So what does it mean? It goes back to their father who left Egypt.
In terms of dividing up the land, right?
Why so we get five we, and a half, five and a half, because there were two fathers.
Because so
they got
two kids.
They got
individual,
but then it goes back. Yes, one second. Is he has a question? Right. So the total land grab is bigger for the person who had more kids in the desert.
That's right. Ishmael. Now, from here, we go to Yaakov, the son. Then Yaakov, his fastest son, Yoshim. What happened to the middle? What's happened? Because everything's up. Me Abraham, the higher Rashid the Anak, already has it. So what happened here?
They misbehaved. They were thrown out of the family, Ishmael and Esav. Okay, so Amar Rebbe. Rebbe said, Em Shalochal Mashal, let me give you a parable to explain the view of Rabbi Yonah's son. Lema Davar Dome, what is this like? Lishnei Achim Kohanim. Let's say you have two brothers who are Kohanim, Shayu Be'ir Achas, and they are in the same city. Le'echad Yeshlo Ben Echad, one has a single son. Le'echad Yeshlo Shnei Banim, one has two sons. V'holchu, and the sons go to three first cousins, lagoren, to a pile of grain, in order to get land, to get truma, I mean. So zesh yesh lo ben echad, no tel chelek echad. So the one who has one son, his son gets a portion. Zesh yesh lo shnei banim, no tel shnei chalakim. The one who had two sons, he has two portions. Because the boys go to the granary, they get the grain, and they bring it back to their fathers. Now the fathers had agreed to divide it. So the fathers pool the three portions of grain. And then, then they divide it between the two. So the father who has two sons will end up with one and a half portions, and the father who has one son ends up with one and a half portions in his family. So that's what happened in terms of the inheritance of the land of Israel. Those who were entering the land, based on those entering, that's how we divided up the amounts of land. But then it went back to their fathers, and it was divided from their fathers down back to them.
I have a question. First of all, these Tanaims, are they guessing all these things, or they're saying it based on something that says in the Torah?
They're debating. They must have forgotten how it had happened.
So this is not a so real now, truth.
Well, there is. They're questioning how to determine the pasuk. What does the pasuk mean? Why did it work?
Interpretation of the pasuk.
Right.
So what happened? State law, but then you learn state law from
all
right, it.
But now, the second question is that all these tribes, they had their own portions, right?
And it's stuff.
What happened to the other, you know, they already had designated land for themselves? Why we lost 10 of them? They were there already in Israel. Where did they go?
What happened to the 10 tribes? Yeah. So the 10 tribes were exiled by a Assyrian general whose name was Sanherib. They've been lost. They went out to the east, to Asia, probably to Africa.
I mean, we've lost track of them. All
10 tribes were taken. Yeah, we've lost them. So they, as far as we know, they are gone. We had a Gemara in Yevamos. The Gemara says that because they intermarried with non-Jewish women, they lost their status as Jews.
Baruch, I'm so happy you asked a question, because soon you're going to learn that you, the Persim, came from the Syrian. Slowly, don't worry.
And so far we have two opinions. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, Omer, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar gives us the third opinion. Le'elu u'le'elu nischalka ha'aretz. So both those who exit Egypt and those who entered the land got portions. Kidei l'kayim shnei mikros halalu. So both psukim are true. Both the pasuk of l'shemos matos havosim yinchalu that they inherit from their fathers, and the pasuk leila tochalei ka'aretz. So what does it mean? How does it work? Haketzad? How does it work? Like this. Let's say he was 20 years old when he left Egypt, and he died in the desert. No tel chalko miyotzi mitzrayim. So his children, who were 20 when they entered Israel, they inherit his portion that he was entitled to because he was someone who had left Egypt and he was over the age of 20 at the time of leaving Egypt. And if he's over 20 at the time of entering the land, and he hadn't been 20 when he left Egypt, no tel chalkoim baya aretz, then he gets the portion amongst those who are entering the land. Mikan umikan, let's say he was 20 when he left Egypt, then he dies in the desert, and his son is 20 when he's entering the land. No tel chelko mikan. So the son gets one portion because he's one of those who enter the land at age 20. Umikan. Plus he gets a portion because his father had been over 20 when his father left Egypt. So he ends up getting two portions. Okay. So now, we see here two opinions that say that those who left Egypt and were 20 at the time that they left Egypt were entitled to pieces of the land of Israel. The first opinion, that was Rabbi Yoshia, that the land was only divided up amongst those who left Egypt. And now the last opinion says that the land was divided both to those who left Egypt and to those who entered the land of Israel. So now there also there are portions to those who left Egypt. So now the Brisa continues. Of those who left Egypt.
Use the other pasuk.
Yeah.
But Rabbi, we said there were two psukim, right?
Right.
So how does Rabbi Yoshia use the other pasuk? If he basically said it's only based on those who left Mitzrayim.
It's to teach you that you had to be over 20. La'ela ka'ela. There's a comparison to say you have to be over the age of 20 to be able to get a piece of land. Just like when you left Egypt, they were over 20. Those who are over 20 are the ones getting a piece of land. Just like when just like the count is of those over 20, it's only those who are over 20 who are entitled to get a piece of land when they left Egypt. Those who are younger than 20 were not entitled to a piece of land.
So, how about if it was 19 years old? Next year it becomes 20 years old. He got nowhere to go? Is he homeless?
He gets from his father.
His father.
And there was no one that was
so now there were some of those who left Egypt who didn't get any land, and their children did not inherit from them. Meraglim, the spies, they lost their rights. And Yoshua and Kalev, not Luchalkam, Yoshua and Kalev got the land that they would have otherwise gotten. Mitlonim v'adas Korach, the 250 people who were with Korach complaining against the leadership of Moshe Rabbeinu, they didn't get a portion of the land. It went amongst the other people who left Egypt. Habanim, so the grandchildren, right, the children of the spies and the children of the Korach's group, naklu b'schus avi aviem, they would get their grandfather's land. If their grandfathers had left Egypt and had been over the age of 20 when they left Egypt, so they were that was the land that they could get, but not the land of their fathers. Or b'schus avi imoseim, they could get the land that had belonged to the fathers of their mothers. If those men didn't have any sons and just had their mothers, just had daughters, so they could get the land through them, but they didn't get any land from their parents who were members of the spies or Korach's group.
Rabbi, I'm sorry, just to go back to the third question. If we're dividing the Eretz, like exactly, some son would get area that's really like the desert,
Two different tribes have different areas. That's right, different tasks in the land. Asks the Gemara, "My mashma dahai lishmos matas avosam." Yotze Mitzrayim Ksiv. How do you know the pasuk that says to the tribes from the names of the tribes of their fathers means that those who left Egypt got the land? Maybe it's the children of Yaakov who get the land, and we inherit from them. Answers the Gemara, no, I know it means those who left Egypt. Because the pasuk says, Hashem tells the Jewish people, I'm going to bring you to the land of Israel. Right in Parshas Va'era, Ve'vesi Eschem al Aretz Asher Nasasi Es Yadi L'Asei Sosel Avram Yitzhak Liyakov. I'm going to give it to you as something that you will give over as an inheritance, says God. This is going to be an inheritance from your ancestors, and you're going to give it over to the next generation later. And who is being told that? The Yotzei Mitzrayim Karmelu. It's Hashem talking to the people who are leaving Egypt and saying, you're the ones who are going to get the land, and you're going to be morishit further. So therefore, you see that the land was divided according to those who left Egypt, according to the view of Rav Yoshia.
Yeah, the next generation became the Arabs. They took over everything. Now we want to take it back. They said, occupy them.
No, I think the Arabs are they're not entitled to it. And the Zohar says that once the land of Israel is empty, so the Arabs are able to have a hold on the land of Israel, but if the land of Israel will be filled with content and with Kedusha, then Hashem will take the land and he'll shake it like someone would shake a sheet or a blanket, and all the little bugs will fall off the sheet and the carpet. All the Arabs will go. We have to fill the land of Israel with more Kedusha. Yeah, Izzy, a question.
I'm saying, but not Jew of Parashah, Gemara, more close to the Parashah, to the
for sure, it's very relevant. That's right.
If you do good, you will be out of the Eretz. Exactly what the rabbi right. said. Be key out of them.
That's right. Very true. Okay, thank you.
Thank you.